It's Monday, July 27th. I'm Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway, and we're going to get right to it. Today is the deadline for the federal government to release migrant children who've been held in immigration detention with their parents. That deadline was set due to concerns about coronavirus. The decision marks a turning point in one of the most significant legal cases in U.S. immigration policy, known as the Flores Agreement, a 1993 Supreme Court ruling that required undocumented children to be released to family members after a limited amount of time. Over the weekend, U.S. District Court Judge Dolly G denied a request by the Trump administration to further extend the deadline, but whether the children will be released with their parents is still a question. This is unfolding as immigration detention centers have also been affected by the coronavirus pandemic. So far, there have been about 90 coronavirus infections in family detention centers across the country, and advocates say they're concerned about the growing number of cases. Jacob Soboroff is with me. He's a correspondent for NBC News and MSNBC and author of Separated: Inside an American Tragedy. Jacob, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, Tanzina. It's good to be with you.
So tell us a little bit about some of the back and forth that we've been seeing between the Trump administration and lawyers for the family.
Well, I think the most important thing for everybody to understand is that Judge Dolly G called the conditions in ICE family detention, where migrants come and are detained together as families by the U.S. government, as a house on fire because of the rapid expansion of the coronavirus pandemic throughout, not just family detention, but ICE detention generally across the country. Thousands of detainees have been infected with the coronavirus, and around 90 staff and detainees have been infected inside family detention. And so under the terms of the Flores Settlement Agreement, which calls for safe and sanitary conditions for children who are being detained by the United States government, she ordered the release almost a month ago of the children and has already extended the deadline once. As you said, this weekend, she ordered that the deadline will stand for those children to be released. But the big question is not only whether or not those children will be released, but whether or not they will be released with their parents. She doesn't have the authority to order the release of the families together, only the children. And so what lawyers for the children say today is, we may be faced with a situation where nobody gets out, and we're at a bit of a stalemate here where the children and the parents remain together inside detention. And the ultimate worry from these lawyers is that these families will be separated, not specifically like we saw two summers ago down on the border, but what they call family separation 2.0.
Let's talk about what that means, because, Jacob, you spoke to Peter Shea, who's one of the lawyers representing migrant children. And that lawyer, Peter, says he's in favor of this sort of binary choice, this family separation 2.0. What does that mean?
Well, we know that the Trump administration has been looking at what's called binary choice at least since August of 2018. New emails that just came out last week from Stephen Miller, as a matter of fact, the Trump aide who is the driving force behind much of these restrictive immigration policies, saw it as a backup plan to family separation after the family separation policy, which systematically, as everyone remembers, separated over 5,000 children from their parents, resulting in what doctors and Physicians for Human Rights call trauma and torture, as a matter of fact, in the words of Physicians for Human Rights, of these children. They were prevented from doing that moving forward. And so binary choice, what it is essentially, is a form that asks parents, would you like to separate from your child in order to have the child released, or would you like to stay indefinitely detained in ICE detention with your child until your immigration case is adjudicated? That's what the Trump administration has always wanted to do. That was the underlying driving force on a policy basis of the family separation policy. And that was told to me by Katie Waldman, now Katie Miller, Stephen Miller's wife, today the spokesperson for Mike Pence, but then the spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security at the time. This is what they've always wanted to do. And now they are closer than they have been to doing it.
Jacob, the Trump administration, as you've mentioned, they have been gunning for the Flores Agreement for quite some time. Can you give us a little background on the Flores Agreement and how it plays into and why this has been such a target for the Trump administration?
Sure. And you mentioned this goes back to the 1990s. I think in fairness, we have to say also the Obama administration wanted to get around the Flores settlement agreement in order to detain families indefinitely. They were not successful in doing that. And so while this started in the 1990s, over the case of a young girl, Flores, from here in Southern California, where I am, this is a case that stretched on through the decades. And in 2015, ultimately, Judge Dolly G set this 20-day limit for children who are detained in the custody of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, saying they must be released after 20 days. And historically, the Obama administration, after losing that court battle, would release the children with their families together. And immigration lawyers, of course, will tell you they've had individual battles over families being detained. And right now, the families that are detained inside ICE family detention, many of them have been there approaching 1 year. And so the crux of this is where we are now. Both lawyers and the independent monitor and Judge G have all acknowledged that the conditions inside family detention are not suitable for children. The coronavirus, just as it is outside ICE family detention, just as it is in prisons around the country and other congregate settings, is finding a foothold and rapidly expanding. And so that's what we are talking about today. Today, the guideposts of this agreement that were meant to care for the children have almost a special relevance because of how dangerous it is inside. And so that's where we find the urgency that lawyers are going back and forth with not just the federal government, but with Judge G almost on a daily basis at this point.
Jacob, do we know, you know, there's a lot of talk about liability in the era of coronavirus. If one of these parents or their children is infected with the virus and, God forbid, gets sick, then what happens? I mean, who is liable? Do we know?
Well, we've seen staff members in ICE detention at this point die of the coronavirus. In the Eloy Detention Center, which is not a family detention center, a sergeant died of the coronavirus. We've seen many children die of the coronavirus. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know. I don't know what happens if a child dies inside ICE detention of the coronavirus, God forbid. But you better believe that these attorneys, if someone does get sick and someone does die, I mean, that's the warning that they continue to make, is that we are on the verge of someone getting sick and dying now, and that is why they must be released. And look, that's the situation that everybody's trying to avoid.
So this is really a battle that's playing out, it feels like, between the Trump administration and Judge G here. I mean, is there any legal recourse if the Trump administration does not release the children from ICE detention today? What happens then?
I'm glad you asked that. That's a very important question. And the recourse is that they'll have to make the lawyers for the children individualized appeals on behalf of every one of the families. Because right now we're dealing with a class action lawsuit that covers every child that's detained inside ICE family detention. What the lawyers for the children tell me in their immigration proceedings, not the class counsel, which is the attorney that represents Peter Shea, you mentioned him, represents all of the children in the Flores case. They'll have to go one by one and submit specific details about each child and each of their parents as a way to try to get them all out of family detention individually. They had gone in D.C. District Court to Judge Boasberg to try on a class action basis to get the families released, and they were unable to do so. So now they're faced with a situation, if the government today decides not to release the children with their families, and I should be really explicit about this, they have the discretion to do so. They've done so in the past. They could release the children and families together right now, Tanzina, as you and I are talking. But the Trump administration has basically said they're not going to do that. At least they haven't done that to this date. And so it's going to set up a situation where lawyers are going to have to go one by one through each family, lay out the reasons, including asthma, pre-existing conditions, diabetes, whatever the case may be, in order to try to get them out.
And Jacob, there's been some disagreement among various lawyers who are representing migrant children in terms of their approaches to these cases. What can you tell us about that?
So the lawyers for the children in their immigration proceedings have filed what's called a motion to intervene in the case. And that is because the Trump administration has been negotiating over this binary choice issue with Peter Shea, the class counsel who you mentioned earlier. And the lawyers for the children in their immigration proceedings, and I know this gets a little confusing, but just like you can have multiple doctors, you can also have multiple lawyers that look at the same issue. They have filed a motion to intervene saying Peter Shea is not acting in the best interests of the children in these cases by negotiating a binary choice waiver that would ultimately result in either family separation by the choice of the parent or continued indefinite detention in ICE detention where the coronavirus pandemic is running rampant. The lawyers for the children in their immigration proceedings continue to say it doesn't have to be that way. Why do they have to choose between this catch-22 scenario when the government has the power to release the children? So this motion to intervene is basically for the lawyers for the children to get a seat at the table, to say we want to be a part of the negotiation. And Judge Gee acknowledged, she did not grant the motion to intervene, she has not yet, but she said in this order over the weekend that this was never intended to be a way for families to separate without consent of the parent. What the government and the class council have been calling a waiver of their Flores rights is really should be a know your rights document. Here are the rights you have as parents of detained children in ICE family detention. Here is what you can do, and you don't have to do those things. So what the lawyers want is for the government just to release the families together, and they're saying that this negotiation over the waiver process is almost a distraction. It's putting the parents into a box to make a decision that really the government should have to make about releasing the families together.
Jacob, we've seen, particularly over the weekend when it comes to migrant children, there have been some videos and some reports that migrant children are being held at hotels without security or protection from COVID-19. There was one video in particular where a civil rights attorney, from what we understand from a civil rights project, tried to gain access to the children in the hotel and was forcibly not allowed to do so. What can you tell us about these children? Are children being held in hotels, and what's going on with that, Jacob?
They undoubtedly are. And the video you're referring to is from the Texas Civil Rights Project, the legal organization in Texas, obviously. What you're seeing there, and if anybody over the weekend saw that video, under Title 42, this public health law, the Trump administration has been detaining children inside hotels and immediately expelling them back to their home countries. Since family separations, this is what the Trump administration had wanted to do. These are the underlying policy goals that the family separation crisis was meant to effectuate, and now they're doing it without family separation, and activists and lawyers and advocates are not only up in arms, they're concerned for the well-being of the children.
Is there anything, Jacob, in that scenario that can be done? I mean, we saw a civil rights attorney try to gain access to these children and, again, was forcibly prevented from doing so. So, I mean, is the Trump administration just flouting the law at this point by the way it's taking children out of the country?
That's certainly what the ACLU says. You know, the ACLU alleges in this temporary restraining order filed over the weekend that the Trump administration is violating the due process rights of children who are being expelled back to their home countries. So they've asked for a judge to stop this process, to allow them access to the children, to offer them counsel. And that decision has not yet been made by the judge.
Jacob Soboroff is a correspondent for NBC News, MSNBC, and author of Separated: Inside an American Tragedy. And I should just say we reached out to Immigrations and Customs Enforcement for comment and have not heard back in time for the broadcast. Jacob, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tizina.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.